Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm so delighted to be here. Tonight's show, Children, Teachers, and Education. I have my co-host.
And good morning. Should I say good evening? Dr. J.R. Thickman here with me. And listen, is it morning or evening? I'm feeling like the teachers now. The days are very long. Inside of that, but it's exciting to be here today. And I'm interested in this topic tonight because we're in the final stretch. We're coming down to the last month or so of school. And that means that it's crunch time. It's crunch time for educators. It's crunch time for students. And it's really crunch time even for parents. So tonight definitely will introduce us and will definitely present real good conversation about education, children, students, and parents.
You know, we take our educators for granted oftentimes. You know, this special guest tonight, Dr. Carol Johnson Coote, had I don't know if it was a privilege or honor or whatever, but she nursed two of my children, Stephanie and Daniel. She was their teachers, and wow. I tell you what, I thank God for teachers like her that actually cares. So to have her be a part of this show, I think is an honor and a privilege because, you know, we don't know them behind their actual jobs of what they do. You know, we send our kids off to school every day and we just, you know, let's just make it real. I was a single parent with four kids and it was a relief to drop them off somewhere every day and go to work and be able to do my job knowing that they were in school being taught something. So I am so blessed to have a teacher like Dr. Coote, who was one of the teachers that helped shape the lives of two of my children.
Wow. You know, when you think about that, and I appreciate the transparency because the reality is that for many parents, it becomes thank you, they're gone. But tonight we're talking about the importance of educators that really take it beyond that. For them, you know, it's not a matter of just doing a job. It's about shaping the lives and destinies of our children. And that's not always easy.
It's not easy. Some parents say, well, you're paid to do that. Well, you know, you can't pay someone enough to train, educate, and deal with the mental capacities that a lot of these children are dealing with on a day-to-day basis because they come from different homes. So, you know, you take a teacher, averagely have maybe 30 at the time, maybe 30 kids in a classroom, and all of them come from different walks of life. Some have one parent, some have two, some have a whole village. But when you have to deal with those different personalities and try to educate them all at one time, I'm sure it is a challenge. My son is a teacher. Now he's a vice principal. So, you know, I know it's not an easy job because who would have guessed that he would have became a teacher? He gave his teachers a fit.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing about that, and I think about it, you know, because not only is your son, he's a vice principal now, but your son has been teacher of the year, I think on a couple of occasions. And it's amazing because he looks like he is so into it. He is so locked in and focused, which serves to the fact of how was he impacted by teaching and those who taught him. And to the point, especially when we see, let's just face it, when we see Black male teachers, especially with the kind of enthusiasm that your son has and the dedication, you know that he's figured something out. He's figured out something that he really believes that is transformative in the lives of kids. And very much like our guest tonight, you know, those individuals who go beyond just the paper, go beyond just the academia and the credentials, but they possess the intangibles to be able to do all those things you talked about earlier, to be able to manage. I mean, teachers today are expected to be psychologists, social workers, expected to be enforcement, expected to be everything. And then we say, look here, that's what they paid to do. I don't think we can ever pay them enough. And I think if most parents are very honest with themselves, over the last year, in the midst of this pandemic, we finally have understood what teachers been saying all along. People drop off or put on the bus stop or sit on the bus, people that they call their children, but they're not always wearing halos or angel wings, believe me, when they get to school. And parents have discovered in this pandemic exactly what teachers been going through, because parents have been on the verge of getting charges because they got their hands around the neck because they realized that their kids was a lot more difficult to deal with. And so with that in mind, I think our guest tonight definitely is the epitome of what we call a compassionate teacher. She's not only that, but she is a what I call a transformative teacher. So Dr. Carol Johnson Coote, she is a lifelong learner. She's an educator for the past 23 years who is committed to excellence in education. Of course, she earned her bachelor's of arts degree in mass communication from Florida Atlantic University, a master of science degree in English education, and a doctorate degree in organizational leadership with a specialization in, and I have it here, educational leadership, and just so much that she's done because she's taking this to the next level. Currently, she's a secondary English language arts teacher and a coordinator for the Cambridge AICE program and the 21st Century Community Learning Center at Coconut Creek High School in Broward County, Florida. She was twice nominated as Teacher of the Year and most recently the recipient of the City of Coconut Creek Do the Right Thing Teacher Award. Now, you got to say nothing else. Do the right thing. And listen, tonight we welcome, because she's doing the right thing, none other than Dr. Carol Johnson Coote. Thank you for being with us tonight. Welcome to Hot Topic from the Soul.
Thank you for having me, and I appreciate the kind words.
Well, yes, you've earned them, believe me. I do believe. You know, every politician that gets in office always promise, especially in the state of Florida, what they're going to do for the teachers. We're going to give the teachers, we're going to give them this type of raise. We're going to raise, and they say that. And I'm not saying they have not made attempts, but I'm telling you, after what you all have demonstrated in the midst of COVID-19, listen here, they should raise the bar and don't apologize. You call it PPP money or whatever it is, they need to do it and give it to our educators, because no one makes a greater sacrifice. I mean, really seriously, right, than our educators. We entrust the future of our kids to educators. And yet and still, I don't always think that we appreciate it. Because the fact you're human, that's the thing about it. You got to be a teacher, you got to be an instructor, yet still you're human as well. How do you balance all that?
I would say the grace of God. Well, and your training and having collaborative relationships, people who are there to support you, and just doing the best that you can. Because it is not easy, as Dr. Val spoke about before. You know, you have 25, 35 different personalities, and each child, each student is different. And you have to manage all of that. You are a lawyer, a psychologist, a doctor, a nurturer. You are everything to those students on a daily basis. You know, they're students who come to school, and a smiling face of a teacher is all they have seen for that day or will ever see for the day. You know, pre-COVID, we were expected to stand at our doors and we say good morning as a way of forming relationships. And for some of those students, that was the best greeting they had for the day, or someone trying to say good morning, how is your day so far? Or when they leave, to say, have a good day. Because parents are at work. When parents leave in the mornings, the kids are still asleep. When the parents come home, the kids are asleep. So, you know, they communicate maybe via phone for the day, or maybe not at all. Right? So, and of course, children need this kind of interaction. Even though they may fight you at times in the sense that, you know, they don't want to listen, they pretend that, you know, they don't need you, but they do need you. And oftentimes I teach high school, And most of my high school teaching career, I've taught seniors. And so, you know, some of these kids, you don't know what they're feeling sometimes until you read what they write.
Wow.
And it is in these journals that you assign that you discover who your students are. You find out who is mentally unstable. You find out who is in trouble, who needs someone to talk to, right? They just need someone to care. And they tell you these things through their writings. So
wow,
as a teacher, it takes time to read these journals, but I learned so much about my students reading their writing because they tell you, they will tell you things, you know? And one of my favorite activity to do is at the end of the year, when my seniors are leaving, I always do a reflection. Every end of the school year, I do a reflection with my students. And in it, and I tell them, you can tell me whatever you want. Just don't tell me anything I have to report to the police. But, and in it, they will tell you their experiences in the class, what they like, what they didn't like, right? How you made them feel. And a lot of times it's very positive and it helps you to overcome some of the challenges that you experience through the year, because it is hard with all of these different personalities. And sometimes you feel as if you're fighting them to teach them, because as an adult, I understand what life is like. I have a view that they have not yet gotten.
So absolutely.
I am trying to let them see what I already know, but sometimes it's very hard because you get pushback. And it's not until when they're leaving, they're like, oh, miss, now I get it. And believe it or not, they get scared. Come May, Memorial Weekend, our seniors will leave. They are scared because pre-pandemic, oh my God, all this other time I had a teacher, I had somebody there to say, do this, don't do that, think about this, someone to empower them. And now they're going to be unleashed on the world and they feel not prepared. A lot of our kids don't know how to balance a checkbook. They don't know what a savings account is like. They don't know how to interview for jobs. They don't even know how to speak to adults. Right. So as a teacher, for me, the school board says I am supposed to teach English, but I teach all aspects of life. I teach my students life skills. Right. What good is it if you are well spoken, but you don't know how to navigate life? You don't understand.
So how
to make a phone call to a business.
So you teach a specific class. So how would a student learn these things? And is it only taught? And if they are being taught this, is it only in their senior year, or do they get it when they go into high school? Or is it something that a teacher like yourself that cares and know what they're going to face implements in the teachings that they're supposed to deliver to the students?
Okay, some students have a class in finance.
They have what?
A class in finance, learning how the economy works and money management. They do, but they're kids and they have to hear it more than once. They have to practice it for it to become part of them, right? So as a teacher, as I said before, my role is not only to teach the students English, but I teach them real world skills through the English class.
You have an incredible opportunity because the fact I love that. That's the way I like to see myself as a teacher, that you understand that, you know, you have those moments with them. So you have to make them count. So in teaching, though your assignment is, in your case, English literature, you understand the importance of, you know, being able to give life skills. I like to call them tools because they all need the tools to be able to navigate through life. We all need tools to navigate. And that one of my premise, my version of teaching is always through tools. And I say to them, look, the only tool that you have in your toolbox is a hammer. Everything looks like a nail to you. Mm-hmm. And so life will become that difficult because you don't have the right tools. But if you get the right tools, you can navigate. Some things don't need bamming. They just need adjusting. They may need just screw. And those things are important. But I do think it's a special teacher. It takes a special teacher, especially in this day and time, to be committed to teaching life skills and be committed to teaching this sense of what I like to call reality, you know, practical teaching. It takes a real teacher to do that, especially when you all are so taxed with you must do this, you must do that, you got to get
very taxed.
Yeah, you're very taxed with that, and yet it's still educators like yourself know it intuitively that I've got to do something. If I don't give these kids this, I am unleashing them on the world, maybe somewhat unprepared in areas that they need to be prepared. So I commend you for that. But I'm going to ask a question. I make you answer it just by hearing you talk. I don't know. I don't think I could ever misbehave in your class. You're so soft-spoken and everything. I'll just probably just sit there listening, you know, and listening. But for you, how have you dealt with those challenges, you know, when they come? Because you said earlier, you can tell when they're resistant. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to. It's not that they don't want to learn. They just don't want to right now, or they don't want to comply right now. How in the world do you manage that?
Well, I come from a background where education was extremely important. My parents, overall, they pushed education because education is the vehicle that's going to take you from one point to the next. And so the system that I grew up with, going to school, you know, you had to do your homework because the teacher could never tell your parents that you didn't do your homework or you were unprepared in class or you lacked discipline because the teacher was always right back then. So with that, when I came to teaching, I came from a different industry. I came from banking. And I had to reinvent myself through teaching. I had always resisted being a teacher. I had friends who encouraged me to be a teacher. And I said, nah, I don't want to babysit anybody. And so when it was time for me to reinvent myself, find a different line of work, I ended up as a teacher. Okay. Now, the first day I was hired as a substitute at this charter school that Dr. Val and I both know. And the first day I went in, I had no educational courses, but I relied on what I remember school being like for me as a student and the teachers that I admired and the way they conducted their classes. So I ran a tight ship, all right? I made sure I was prepared. I had my lessons ready. I had structure in the classroom. I don't take foolishness. But at the same time, we can have fun learning. And so I have to get my students to that point where they understand education is important. It's the key. It's your vehicle to wherever it is you're going. At one point, everybody was going to be a football player. Everybody was going to be the next great rapper. Well, right. I can teach you to write those verses. I can teach you to read that contract that you are going to have. So I approach it in the sense that, okay, yes, I'm teaching you English, but it also has to be practical at the same time. And although I am considered strict by my students, they know that I have their well-being at heart and I do care. And one of the things that I tell my students the first day of school, I am going to teach you like I wanted someone to teach my daughter. I have only one biological daughter, but I have many children. So that is my premise. I start there and I teach my students just like my family members are important to me, and I want their teachers to teach them that way. And I use in the back of my mind, it's always, if I have one challenge, she's the most precious person to me on this earth, then these students, they are the most precious beings on earth to their parents. So I'm going to teach them the way I would want someone to teach my students. And I tell my students all the time, I am going to do my very best because I don't know who's going to be my doctor. I don't know who's going to be my whatever that I will need. So I am going to make sure you give me the right medicine so I can live as long as I possibly can, or whatever it is that I will need. Because in my mind, I am sowing seeds, and I don't know who will develop the cure for cancer. I don't know who will develop the latest technology, but it's my responsibility to make sure that I did my part to help the human race. And so I use that as my fuel to prepare my students for life.
How do you do the tutoring program that you have?
Okay, the 21st Century Program, we are in our fifth year. So what we do, we offer students an opportunity to come after school. After school, we provide homework assistance. We provide tutoring. We focus on test-taking strategies for the FSA. We focus on preparing them for the SAT, the ACT, the PERT, and now Cambridge is new to our school this year. So we are developing strategies to help these students navigate these tests and do the best that they can.
Now, is it just limited to the school that you are teaching at, or is it open to those that are around in Broward County or?
Pre-COVID, it was open to those students with it at our school, but since COVID has taken place and we do a face-to-face model as well as virtual. So if you're a high school student in Broward County and you need assistance with homework, tutoring, whatever it is, we can help you. But the 21st Century Program, it's not just about academics. We work towards the whole child. So we have social and emotional programs that the students can participate in. We have project-based learning. Currently, we have someone who teach our students how to play chess. You know, so these are things. The students have the opportunity to build drones, to work with robots. All right, so we are trying to give our students an opportunity to participate, to be ready for the 21st century by giving them the skills that they need.
And what email address can they contact you to find out more information regarding the tutoring?
Okay, so my personal tutoring, you can contact me at pancoot64@gmail.com.
Which is on the screen, but for those that are listening by audio, it is pancoote64@gmail.com to reach out to find more information regarding the tutoring that's available for your child. And I'm sure that it's needed for masses of children, not only in Broward County, Dade, in Palm Beach County, to the masses, because how do you find the psyche of the students since the pandemic? Is it a drastic change since then?
Well, pre-COVID, we had reluctant learners. And now when you are learning remotely, it's a little bit more challenging. Because even though we think that our students are well-versed in technology, but to only a certain extent, right? So many of our kids are great at texting, but when it comes to actual typing and pulling up a Word document using an Excel spreadsheet, they're not so savvy in that, right? And, people get frustrated. And it's worsened by a pandemic when there's no one there where you can just go up to and say, Miss, is this correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now you are remote. You don't know your classmates. You're disconnected. There's only so much socialization that you can do virtually. All right. Some people like to be face to face. So we do see that some the learning is not where it needs to be. And there are kids are having challenges and staying focused and not be distracted. You know, some of our students are home by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no monitoring going on except when they sit in front of that screen and the teacher says, turn the camera on. But who knows what you're doing, what video game you are playing, what television program you are watching, what music you're listening to. You know, so it's not hard to be distracted. And when you are distracted, there's no focus on the learning.
It is difficult because when you think of the fact, you know, when we do things short term, we can get through it. But now, as you're saying, when there's more that's demanded of them, it exposes what they don't know and then their temperance to do so. And it really makes us think about how much the whole environment has to do with kids being able to learn successfully. The entire environment, them knowing classmates, them being comfortable, knowing who's there. I mean, just the whole notion of the fact of being virtually really requires some maturity as well that may be beyond where some of them are, you know, to be mature enough to stay focused, to stay locked in on the screen or to follow through on an assignment such as that. You know, a lot of discussion was happening with people. I do know in certain school systems, particularly here in Palm Beach County, I do know that, for instance, that there's always a virtual, you know, before they could graduate, they had to take a virtual course, a virtual class. Well, that was quite different than what's happening right now because they knew that was one and done. But when that has become your whole mode of thinking, your whole mode of having to do things, your whole mode, I have seen it be very difficult to many of the kids. I deal with a lot of kids after, you know, after school type programs and things like that, and some of the other work I do in the community. And I'm amazed when I say to them that this is going to be hybrid. That means that you're going to do about three sessions, you know, by way of virtual. There, the first one go, oh no, not another virtual platform, not another virtual. So it lets me know that to a certain degree, this has worn on a lot of kids. A lot of kids are like, man, no more, no more, you know, inside of that. And I can only imagine it's got to be even equally challenging to you all as educators. How do you really keep them accountable? How do you really, you know, those that don't complete assignments or those that are really struggling, and how do they really communicate it?
Well, it gets very challenging, and sometimes it feels very lonely. It feels like an uphill task. But, you know, as teachers, I think we are a very resilient bunch. And we try and find different ways in which to connect with our students.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it requires calling parents because it does take a village to raise a child, even though sometimes it feels like there's only one adult in that village trying to do the impossible. So it might mean having a one-on-one with that student. As a teacher, I have a virtual office. So if I need to speak to the student, I will go to the virtual office and I will call the student. If they have a need that they need to speak with me, that's where we meet. Now, if it becomes more challenging and, you know, I've spoken to you, we have had that one-on-one and I see no change, then I have to call the parents. And sometimes I don't always get parents. And if I call, I email, and there is no response, then I have to go to administration. Or before I get to that level, I have to speak to the social worker because I don't know what is happening with that student. Because remember now, students are at home more than before. Some of them are by themselves. we don't know what situations or predicament they may find themselves in. They could be, you know, being abused. They could be hungry. So there are a lot of factors that as a teacher you have to consider. And let's face it, they could also be, for lack of a better term, lazy.
Okay? Right.
So as a teacher, you have to use your best judgment and think of ways in which you can help the student to be successful. All right. So you, as a teacher, you do all the steps that are within your power to help the student. When you can't, then, you know, you go to the next level, administration. And it's not always easy sometimes because kids can't handle the stress of the pandemic, the stress of not being prepared. You know, our kids are still having challenges learning to read, to do basic math.
Really?
Yes. And think about it. You were having.
So how is that now if they were having challenges reading in a classroom? How are they going to learn virtually?
That's the $20 million question, because not all of them are able to navigate technology well enough to do it or have the staying power to say, OK, I really need this. They get frustrated, and there are times you call in a student, they don't answer.
So is the system just going to push those students forward, even though they don't have the education that they're supposed to have to go to that next grade?
Well, we know that it will not be so, but one of the things Broward Schools is doing that over the summer, those students who were not successful, they have programs for them where they can go to the through the summer and have that one-on-one assistance to help them. Okay. My understanding is that come fall, the expectation is that we will not be virtual anymore or remote. But who knows? It's a pandemic.
Yeah, but what will that look like for the teachers as well as the child going back into the classroom after being out for so long, the trauma of, you know, having to come face to face with that bully. So it's a relief to a lot of the kids because they don't have to deal with the peer pressure. So it's going to open up a whole new dynamics of emotional distress.
It will be. And one of the things, for example, that we do with our students is teaching them how to handle some of these emotional issues. For example, just learning how to breathe, how to practice mindfulness. I know as a teacher, every day I do at least 5 minutes with my students where we just sit quietly and we learn how to breathe. We have morning meditation. And so I know based on the journals from my students that it does help some of them, and they do practice it, you know. So that's one way to manage it. But I'm pretty sure that the school board will have programs or experts who will guide the teachers in what to do, because we already know that some of the kids will need remediation. So, you know, you can't exactly go at warp speed because you have to go back and lay that foundation before you can pile something new on it.
Well, I know you have to have a love for what you do. Like my son, he loves what he does with the children and students because his aspiration is to produce greatness in all of them. So I know it's a heart thing, but what happens when there is a disconnect between teaching and the compassion side of, you know, helping a child, even though they don't recognize or know that they need the help to get to the next level? Because, you know, those little darlings aren't always little darlings with wings on them. So how do you transition from that to help the unhelpable?
Well, teaching is a calling, I believe. And I think you have to want to make a difference in the lives of other people. And so if that is your fuel, then it's easier to overlook the slights, the disrespect sometimes. But at the same time, you have to think that this is another human being that you have the opportunity to shape their life. And who knows what they're going to become. And it is not always pretty. I've been cussed out, you know, by kids who didn't think that I had their best interests at heart. And sometimes it requires that tough love. But as an educator, one thing I know is that students want structure.
Yes.
They want you to hold them accountable.
That is true.
As much as they may resist, or they pretend that they're resisting. Even the toughest kid, if you give out a sticker, everybody is looking around, Miss, where's my sticker? Okay, oh, Miss, I didn't get this. I didn't get that. Because, I would say to myself, this is an elementary school sticker. Why do you want it? But it makes them feel good. They got a sticker too.
That is true, because I remember my kids coming home and saying they got a sticker and the joy that it meant to them because they were validated. So in essence, that's what everybody wants, validation. They want a place to belong. And when they don't have that, they're pouring, trying to find that space. And I believe that's why there's such a disconnect when it comes to educating, where the child receives the education, because they figure, well, you know, I'm not getting the love or attention at home, and you're just here with me for a couple of days. You have no, a couple hours, you have no idea what my life is like. And it presents a whole different problem, a different issue. I remember my son telling me that when he was in the classroom, that he would have conversations with his students, and they actually didn't even think that they needed education because they figured they weren't going to live past 18. They were expecting to die by the time they graduated from school. So they didn't see anything beyond graduation, which was very sad to hear them even voice that opinion.
It is sad. And unfortunately, we do have situations like that where students don't think that they are going to live beyond a certain age. And it is sad. But I think as an educator, it is up to us, because we have that attention for so many hours during the day. So it is up to us to ensure that, you know, we empower our students, right? I know that one of the things that I do on Fridays pre-COVID, on Fridays was the day we talked. I put the chairs in a circle. So no one was ahead. We were all equal. I sat behind, outside of the circle. And sometimes I would play a song for them and we would talk about it, or we would meditate. Or I said, okay, whatever you want to talk about, go ahead and talk. And one would talk, and then before you know it, the whole class would be engaged talking about whatever it is. And through these discussions, you learn more about these students, but they also learn more about each other, that, you know, no matter how they think their situation is, there might be someone else who is experiencing the same thing. So they can find some commonality and figure out, well, I'm not so strange after all, because it's happening to Susie, it's happening to Tom. So maybe I can speak to them, or, you know, just find out, how does this work? Or what are you doing to cope? So I think one of the things I like to stress to my students is the power of effective communication. Like, I always ask, are there any questions? And I know, you know, kids get embarrassed easily. So even though it might be a small thing, I say, okay, if you don't want to speak out, you know, speak it out. then you can write me a note. Pre-COVID, write me a note. Now they can email, right? And they can ask that question, or they can come to the teacher's office and we can discuss it. But I think especially now that students have to have an outlet where they can express themselves. And I think once we learn to start talking and then translate that into writing, then they learn how to, that socialization piece, they learn how to write, they learn how to speak, they learn how to interact with each other.
You know, one of the things that is clearly evident is that as an educator, there is no really cookie cutter approach anymore. You have to be adaptable. You have to be observant. You have to be discerning. All of those things are things that I'm quite sure that I call them intangible skills. You know, these are not things that necessarily you're taught, because you said earlier that you believe that teaching, being an educator, is a calling. I believe that as well. I believe in the same way that I believe that being a nurse is a calling. I mean, you can know all the parts of the body, joints and all that, but if you don't have the compassion and the temperament to do that job, you know, you don't make a good nurse. Likewise, I think that an educator, no matter how much they want to help, I think it takes incredible, absolutely incredible, not only skills, grace, patience, temperance, we can go down the whole list, you know.
Yes.
You know, to navigate and to deal with other people's children, watch this, even when they are resistant of what you're trying to present to them, and by the same token, walk that thin line, because what I mean, I've said it for so many years, sometimes even the laws, just that the school boards that is placed upon teachers, oftentimes is so restrictive, I don't know do they have enough autonomy to be effective. So for those that manage to discern and be able to, you know, make the best of the autonomy you have in order to impact lives, I say kudos to them. I'm thankful for them, because the fact is almost like you got to fight to reach the student. You got to fight to be able to, you have to fight the system to be able to do that in many cases. So I think that not only is a calling, but I do think that there has to be some reform going forward. And what I mean by that is this: I think system-wide, I think we have to find a way to do things that are going, that's going to better, if you would, reward our educators better. I think we got to find a way to give you guys more days. I call them refreshers course, because it is known. Now, I've worked with school systems before. It is known that oftentimes educators, they reach burnout. But when they're so driven to, you got to get this, you got to get that. So now you have a burnout educator trying to do this with kids who are blowing out. And so you got all these things happening. And we have to find a way to really assist, I believe, educators. You know, The first thing we used to say many years ago on the elementary level and the preschool level, we would say parents are the children's first teachers. And we forget about it right there, that area there. That's it, right? We said it early on. But guess what? Parents don't disappear when they're older, neither. We need you in order to teach your kids. And there's got to be some reform that kind of looks at really the plight of the educator as well. Because the plight of the educator, that you bear a lot of responsibility.
A lot.
And yet still, you bear a lot of risk. So oftentimes, you don't get the recognition with the rewards, but you definitely carry the burden of the risk and responsibility.
You know, I think, yes, there are risks in being an educator, but there is also that joy that comes. You know, one of the greatest things that for me as a teacher, I can appreciate is that you have a lesson and you're going at it and you're going at it and you're going at it, and you think it's a great lesson. Yes, everybody's going to get it, and it doesn't come. But the day that you see that light bulb go on, it's an awesome experience. And you're thinking, oh my God, they got it, they got it. And you feel so good, you know? And that that is a great feeling. And as much, yes, I do want to be recognized for the professional that I am. I've spent a lot of hours and time making myself ready to teach people's children. And I would like to be appreciated for what I do, not be blamed for the ills of society. Because let's face it, everyone has gone through the hands of a teacher at some point or the other. And the heartbreaking thing is that once we have passed through the hands of our teachers and we become successful, then we look down or we become condescending towards teachers, and we blame teachers for the ill of society. You know, as a teacher, I spent a lot of time. I had always worked hard, but during the pandemic, as teachers, we are working harder than we have ever worked before. Because you're home. During the time we were home, we were never compensated for our electricity. We were not compensated for the extra time. We go to bed late because we think, okay, I'm going to be ahead if I spend a couple more minutes doing this. But as a teacher, you never catch up. You're always right. You're driving down the street and a lesson pops into your head. Okay, maybe I can do this or maybe I can do that. Oh, I need to talk to this student. He didn't look so good today. Okay, check with so-and-so, find out what is happening. How can I collaborate with my peers to make it easier for us? So we spend, one of the things that usually irks me is that, oh, teachers are out of school again. But we aren't. We are always planning. We are always trying to think of ways in which we can help our students. You know, and sometimes kids don't see the value of a teacher until when they leave and they go off to college.
Yes.
And they come back and say, oh, Dr. Johnson Kutch, you know that thing you taught me so-and-so? You long forgot what it was. But they remember because they were able to articulate that to a professor, you know? So for me, when I teach my students, I teach my students like they are going to any Ivy League university, because I want when they get there, they are ready and that they can compete with kids who are out of their socioeconomic status, right? They are able to say, ah, but I know that. I know this person. I know about that, right? So I want my students to have those tools, 21st century skills, ready like everyone else when they get to the university of their choice.
What can parents do to help reposition the mindset of their child to envision a life greater than the life they're living right now?
I think parents need to talk to their children and really, really have that discussion with their children. Find out a simple thing as how was your day? That shows the child that you care. You can buy that $5,000 pair of sneakers all you want. But most times, kids just want to talk to their parents. And even though, you know, they know everything and you don't know as much as they think that they know, but they do want to hear from you. They want to know that you appreciate them, that you have their back, right? I would like for parents to hold the kids accountable. When a lot of times, oh, but Johnny was on the computer. He was doing the work. I saw him. But did you look on the bottom line to see what else Johnny had opened? Because, you know, kids can be savvy at tricking parents. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, they hear you coming. All of a sudden, yes, they're paying attention. And a lot of times, parents don't know their kids are failing until the teacher calls. So, you know, the school board has provided opportunities for parents to be involved. You can pick up the phone and call the school, ask to speak to the teacher. Don't wait for the teacher to call you. I understand you're busy. You work, you know. But you do get a lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
you can find a way to call the school, leave a message. Someone will call you back, right? Become part of the school community. Come to the parent meetings. The school calls all the phone numbers and they send out emails to all the working emails and phone numbers that we have. Participate that way. You know, don't wait. It's one of you. The teacher has 35, right? Call and find out what is going on at school. How is your child doing, right? Volunteer at the school.
And that's not, when you say 35, that's just 35 in that one class. When you have multiple classes, yes, with 30 or more kids, you talking to almost 120 kids a day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And not to mention, as an English teacher, all those papers you have to read.
All those papers.
Yes. And offer feedback. Know who is where at all times. It can be stressful. You know,
as I salute you. I honor you. I thank you so much for imparting it to my kids' lives. And they're great individuals. They've gone on to college and they've never forgotten you. They've never forgotten your whole entire name.
But see, that is my purpose, to make a positive difference in the lives of children. And, you know, it's hard, but it is also rewarding when that student comes back and say, I've graduated. I have students who have graduated as civil engineers, students who are nurses. You know, nobody wants to be a teacher, of course.
Stop it. Come on.
You know, but it is rewarding when you see kids who have long passed through your classes, and sometimes you don't remember the names, but you remember the faces.
Yes.
Right? Or when they come back to see you. And, you know, I usually teach a research paper during the year, and that is a hard, because no one wants to do it. And when you give it back, go back, do this, where are your sources? No one wants that. And they hate, my students hate me when they first come to my class. But as we navigate through the classes and they realize I care, you know, and sometimes I say to my students, why is it that I care more than you care? Right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they may say, she's tough, but She taught me something. And
well,
that,
again,
satisfaction.
I appreciate that. And I also appreciate that your school and your city recognizes the work that you've invested and the person that you are in. So that's why I wanted you on the show, so that you can talk about the things and enlighten the parents on what's going on, and even some of the students that may be listening will come across this podcast and see you and they're like, yes, I know her, or, you know, yes, I had her as a teacher. And, you know, remember that, you know, teachers are people, they're individuals that have lives, and their lives are shortened during the day because they're consumed with your children. Mm-hmm. They don't have a break. You say you don't, they don't ever get a break. So I think we need to really reevaluate and reposition the educational system so that, yeah, you can get more time off to breathe, because I'm sure the psyche of a teacher is detriment in order to teach the children.
Well, it's not easy, and, you know, these people forget that teachers do vote too. But, you know, we need others to advocate for us. And I think part of the reason why perhaps not enough attention is given to teachers, and I think it is because we want to make a difference, and people know that. So they take it for granted that, you know, a teacher is always going to be there. But, you know, like I said before, I jokingly said no one wants to be a teacher. And very few people want students, when you ask them, are you going to be a teacher? No. Right? Oh, miss? Oh, no, I can do that. Right? Because they want to do other things that they think will bring them, you know.
Fast money.
Yes.
And success.
Yes. And so teachers are not seen as that. That's not a career that, you know, you're going to make beaucoup money and be considered successful. So I think some people count on the fact that, you know, it's a passion and, okay, teachers will always teach no matter what.
You know what? I have to say this, and I have done this, and I plan to do it even more. I have been an advocate on the behalf of educators for a long time, for the very reasons that you are stating now. It is responsibility of others. It's responsibility of parents. It's responsibility of business. It's responsibility of the medical profession. It's the responsibility of all, because it is something that we have to change in our culture of America, to be quite honest with you. It's amazing to me that the same teacher that teaches the young man who goes off to play football, basketball, whatever, the young man goes making now $50 million a year or $20 million a year, and yet it's still, we did not think enough to invest and understand how valuable that teacher is to that upbringing. And I do believe, and I continue to advocate, I think teachers need more time off. I think that we have to find a scale to be able to have refreshers for teachers. And I'm not talking about, listen, I like doing the workshop. When I come in and do workshops for them, that's great. But I'm saying they need some spa days. They need some things that can refresh them. They need some things that where they're being renewed, because I think it's very important. And so when we take things for granted, we take teachers for granted. And oftentimes, once again, they are the first to get all the blame and the last to get much of the praise and reward. We have to change that in our system, because, in fact, we've lost a lot of teachers. Statistics are showing that the lifespan of teachers these days are running less than 5 years. And that's dangerous. That means someone went to school to do this, got in there and said, oh, no, I don't think so. We've got to change it, because educators are valuable, and they're valuable to the well-being of our society.
Over 23 years, you've invested in thousands of children. And we're out of time, but what would you want as a teacher implemented so that you all can survive with the mentality and the grace to help our students achieve?
Well, I think just understanding that we too are trying to make society better. And I think if you are going to demand that I am the best at my craft, then you should compensate me for being the best at my craft. After all, you reward, as you said, the football player. So why should I be saddled with thousands in student loans, but you don't pay me enough to pay my student loans and have a decent life?
Yes.
I am making a difference in society. You know, and there are people who, I'm not interested in the money. Well, I teach because it's a passion, but I also have a daughter, and I also want to live above the poverty line. And there are many educators who are not able to acquire homes because they don't make enough to. And so I work two jobs. Most educators work more than one job to make a living. So I think, you know, yes, it's great, give me accolades, but I think you need to compensate me for my skills and my expertise, and not just take it for granted that, okay, she has a passion and she will always do it. She will always show up, or he will always show up. Recognize that I am a professional like all other professionals, and compensate me based on my years of experience and expertise.
Well said. I agree. And I hope that this show is passed along and goes viral so that we can embrace our educators and actually look at what the system is not doing to ensure that more educators will come, because right now it's not appealing. So, but it has to be done. It has to be done. So we need you taken care of as an educator so that the journey can continue with those that are coming along the way. And I appreciate you for joining us on Hot Topics from the Soul. And again, those of you that want to reach out to find out about special tutoring, is pancoot64@gmail.com. That's PANCOOTE 64@gmail.com. You can email Dr. Coot and she can give you information and see how you can help excel your little darling to the next level and not be stuck in life because he feels that it's been swallowed up because they don't understand the lessons. And Dr. J, you have any closing remarks? And I want to invite you to visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. There's information on there as well that's free for you to read and be empowered and inspired to live your best life, because here we're reaching hearts and we're empowering lives. Dr. J?
I just want to thank you, Dr. You were absolutely, I thank you for sharing your passion, your transparency. But most of all, you remind us once again the honor of that profession, that what you do is a sustaining. It goes beyond the classroom. It helps transform lives. And I want to say thank you. And once again, I want everyone that's listening to share, because we want to continue to push towards seeing some education reform in ways of empowering our educators, being able to give them what they need. We know many educators are even buying supplies out of their home.
Right. They need tools. They need funds.
Yeah. So I want to encourage others to join on with that, because we want to help make a difference, because we need more Dr. Carol Johnson Coots around to make differences in the future.
And those of you that have went through schools that have empowered you and you're living a good, decent life because of them, adopt that school. See what the shortage is in that school and sow into that school that you left so that others can come behind you and be sustained and be a success as well. We always want to make sure we pay it forward. So if you've been educated by a good teacher and sow into their lives, sow into the school, see what those teachers need to give to those students because of the budget cuts. They don't have the supplies anymore that they readily had before. So because of the budget cuts, they are short, so your child is being shortchanged. So we don't want them shortchanged, and we don't want the parents to come up there with attitudes either.
Absolutely.
So support our educators. And right. Thank you for tuning in to another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night, and God bless, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.